In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this fourth Sunday of Lent, bidding us on to the coming joy of our Lord's resurrection, is the most appropriate day on which to remind ourselves of the great tenderness of our Lord towards poor sinners, that is, all of us. Through the depths of his mercy towards men who groaned under the slavery of sin and Satan, our most loving Redeemer descended from heaven to earth to redeem and save them from eternal torments by his own death. Such was the language of St. Zachary, the father of St. John the Baptist, when the Blessed Virgin, who had already become the mother of the eternal Word, entered his house. Through the bowels of the mercy of our God, in which the Orient from on high hath visited us. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. And Jesus Christ, the good pastor, came into the world to obtain salvation for his sheep. He has said, I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. Note the expression, more abundantly, which signifies that the Son of Man came on earth not only to restore us to the life of grace which we lost, but to give us a better life than the one we had forfeited by sin. As St. Leo the Great teaches, the benefits which we have derived from the death of our Lord are greater than the injury which the devil has done us by sin. The same doctrine is taught by St. Paul, who says that where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. But since the Lord resolved to take human flesh, would not a single prayer offered by him be sufficient for the redemption of all men? Indeed, what need was there of leading a life of poverty, humiliation, and contempt for 33 years? What need of suffering a cruel death and a shameful death on an infamous cross and shedding all his blood in torments? Now, of course, Christ knows well that, yes, one drop of his blood or even just a simple prayer would be enough for the salvation of the world, but neither would be sufficient to show the love which he bears to men. And therefore, to be loved by men when they should see him dead on the cross for the love of them, he resolved to submit to so many torments and to so painful a death. This, he says, is the duty of a good pastor. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. What greater proof of the love of God could the Son of God give us than to lay down his life for his sheep? And this we have known, the charity of God, says St. John, because he hath laid down his life for us. No one, says our Savior, no one can show greater love to his friends than to give his life for them. Christ the Lord died not only for friends, but for us who were his enemies by sin. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The words of St. Paul in his epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 10. This is the infinite love of our God, exclaims St. Bernard, to spare slaves. Neither the Father has spared the Son, nor the Son himself. To pardon us who were rebellious servants, the Father would not pardon the Son, and the Son would not pardon himself. But by his death, he satisfied the divine justice for the sins which we have committed. When Jesus Christ was near his passion, he went one day to Samaria, and the Samaritans refused to receive him. Indignant at the insult received by their master, St. James and St. John, turning to our Lord, asked, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But Jesus, who is all sweetness, even to those who insulted him, answered, you know not of what spirit you are. the Son of Man came not to destroy souls, but to save them. He severely rebuked the disciples. What spirit is this, he said, which possesses you? It is not my spirit. Mine is the spirit of patience and compassion. For I am come not to destroy, but to save the souls of men. And you speak of fire, of punishment, and of vengeance. In another place, he said to the disciples, learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. I do not wish of you to learn of me to chastise, but to be meek and to bear and pardon injuries. How beautifully has he described the tenderness of his heart towards sinners in the following words. What man of you hath 100 sheep, and if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, lay it upon his shoulder, rejoicing, and coming home, call together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. Yes, there is more joy in heaven upon one sinner doing penance than upon 99 who preserve their innocence. What sinner, then, can be so hardened as to not go instantly and cast himself at the feet of his Savior when he knows the tender love with which Christ is prepared to embrace him and carry him on his shoulders as soon as he repents of his sins? Our Lord has come not to condemn, but to deliver sinners from hell as soon as they resolve to amend their lives. And when he sees them obstinately bent on their own perdition, he addresses them with tears in his eyes, in the words of Ezekiel, why will you die, O house of Israel? My children, why will you die? Why do you voluntarily rush into hell when I have come from heaven to deliver you from it by death? He adds, you are already dead to the grace of God, but I will not your death. Return to me, and I will restore to you the life which you have lost. For I desire not the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Return ye and live. But some sinners who are immersed in the abyss of sin may say, perhaps if we return to Jesus Christ, he will drive us away. No, the Redeemer has said, and him that cometh to me I will not cast out. John chapter 6, verse 37. No one that comes to me with sorrow for his past sins, however manifold and enormous they may have been, shall be rejected. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.